Scott Powers from ESPN Chicago joins us once again. Scott, with Kane gone, no one can replace him. I think that's obvious. But who's taking his spot in the lineup on that top line?
Well, they've kind of switched the lines a little bit. Kane was actually on the second line, so the top line now they have it's Christopher Stieg, Jonathan Toews, and Marian Hossa. And that second line is Patrick Sharp, Antoine Vermette, and Brandon Saad. So, guys have flip-flopped a little bit, obviously looking for a little bit more, maybe balance, but obviously they've had Kane on that second line and kind of broken him up with Toews in recent seasons just to try to get each one of them going on different lines. But like you said, there's not a single guy, and they're kind of hoping that across the board, even on the third line, moving Brad Richards to the third line and Andrew Shaw to the fourth line, they're hoping maybe just it's a little bit more balance across the board rather than obviously having it so top-heavy.
Now, Shaw on the fourth line, do they play their fourth line like 11 or 12 minutes?
It's a check-in line. He puts them up usually against their top lines. They'll see 9-10 minutes usually, but he likes to use that checking line mostly as defensive zone starts and likes them against the opposing top line, so that they do have a large role, and he likes to utilize those other lines more in offensive zone starts.
The Blackhawks, not only do they lose Kane, he was a guy who was going to be in the running for the Hart Trophy. I think he's been the Hawks' best player this year. Brandon Saad's had a really good breakout year, 20 goals on pace to score 25 or so. Give me your thoughts kind of on Patrick Sharp's season and how important it is for the Hawks, if they're going to go anywhere, to get Sharp back to the level he's used to playing at.
Yeah, no, he's been inconsistent. He was hurt for a while. He's struggled. He's been all right on the power play, and that's where most of his goals have come from. But even strength, he only has two or three goals there. And the thing is with him is that some of the numbers indicate that he may be due for a breakout, kind of like Marian Hossa was about a month ago, where the shot numbers are where they are normally. I think Sharp's in the top five in shots per 60 minutes and just not finding the net. So, there's some off-the-ice issues that have been kind of affecting him, some rumors about his personal life. I know that he came out and said that it's kind of taken a toll on him and his family, and I thought maybe it had an impact on, what he's doing on the ice too, but he's kind of cleared it a little bit. And he said he felt well playing with Saad and Vermette the other day, and obviously it was Vermette's first game with the Blackhawks, and they're hoping that him and Kimo Timonen will have, just get more adjusted and hopefully see more from those guys as they go along here.
Now, I had read that Patrick Sharp was contemplating even suing someone for that. Is he going to go through with that?
No, he hasn't really. We haven't really followed up on that yet. It's something that he's discussed with his lawyer. I don't know how. I'm not sure who he can sue, and it's a lot of things on Twitter and on the web, and those are difficult lawsuits in this day and age. And I don't know. I think it's something we'll have to double back here in the next week or two, see if he's going to follow through. But I know that it's affected him enough that he at least, sought a lawyer or his lawyer to kind of talk about legal action.
The one trade that surprised a few people was the Ben Smith deal. Shipping him out to San Jose, a team that obviously they wouldn't face until the third round of the playoffs, if they even got that far. But what did you make of that trade? Why was it done from a Chicago perspective?
Ben Smith's had a kind of an up and down season. His offensive numbers haven't really been where they are. Where last season, obviously he hasn't had a large offensive role in the past, but he's been effective on the penalty kill. But it was more of a move for the future. The Blackhawks are going to have some cap issues, the large ones this summer, and they, and Stan Bowman saw an opportunity to move someone that makes $1.5 million and probably replace him with somebody that's going to come up for the AHL and make half of that. So I think it was a move that they saw. Where Smith was having an okay season and probably a little bit more expendable, they can have some of their guys fill his spot in the penalty kill and fourth line. And, and the way to get rid of some money now instead of waiting until the summer.
Teuvo Teravainen, playing about 12 minutes a night, some nights 11, give or take. How's he looking really in his first year? Not even really his first year because he's only played 18 games. But, there's a lot of hype around him. People really like his potential. How's he fit into the Hawks?
Yeah, he's been good when he's got a chance to play. His offensive upside it's high. He sees the ice like very few players, and he makes some plays where you don't see them often made. And defensively, he's pretty responsible, and he's gotten some more minutes that Quinville usually doesn't always give the forwards as youngsters. Someone like Brandon Saad got more minutes just because their defense is responsible. But a lot of the guys lately have had to kind of earn their time, and most of them haven't stuck up in the NHL because of that. So he's actually going to be out of the lineup tonight, though. They're going to bring in Andrew Desjardins, who was part of that Ben Smith trade, and give him a look. But it sounds like Teravainen should be back in the lineup soon and someone they see playing some sort of role going into the playoffs.
Scott Powers from ESPN Chicago joins us. On the back end, you mentioned Kimmo Timonen. I know he played 17 minutes. I'm guessing that's likely where he's going to slot in. Or what do you think, because it's really only his first game of the year, when he gets up to speed, is he pretty much locked in into the third pair? What do you think? Who's he going to be paired with long term?
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. Johnny Oduya is out of the lineup right now, so he'll obviously kind of fit back into the mix. And I think they've liked how Timonen and Brent Seabrook have played together. It'll be interesting. They do have they'll have an abundance of defensemen here when Oduya comes back, and then Trevor Van Riemsdyk, who's down in the AHL right now, going to get his first game this week, and someone they probably will bring up in the next few weeks and give him a chance too. And I figure those top five from Keith and Seabrook and Oduya and Jarmolson and Timonen are definitely in there, and that sixth defenseman is going to come down between David Runblad and Michael Roosevelt and Van Riemsdyk. So they have some options, but I think Timonen fits a role for them on that left side, and I think he's starting to see some power play time, and as he gets more adjusted, they may give him some PK time too. So I think his minutes load may increase a little bit more than that 17 minutes. So it's his first game, so I he admits to being rusty, and I think it's going to take him some time to catch up. But for a first game, 17 minutes, and Quinville liked it that he was pretty reliable, and him and Brent Seabrook looked to be pretty comfortable out there. So I feel like they think it's something that can stick, and hopefully he can give them something down the stretch as well.
What is the timeline for Oduya?
He started skating with the team today. He should be back. They play Arizona next Thursday, and that should be his first game back.
Okay. And what's his injury again?
Upper body.
Oh. So, no
Nothing
idea.
It's even hard to tell where. He played one shift against the Bruins on the 22nd, and it's hard to tell where and when he was injured, so he wasn't very open about it today when he was asked about it as well, of course.
Now, Scott, I look at the salary cap of Chicago Blackhawks, and I just don't see any way Oduya fits in, because I'm guessing he's going to want a raise, and they just don't have any money for a raise. Is he a guy who they're pretty much destined to lose in free agency?
Yeah, I think him and Roosevelt and Brad Richards, and then obviously Timonen's retiring, and Vermette, and most of the guys that are going to be unrestricted, I think actually everyone who's unrestricted next season, I don't expect coming back. And, from the restricted angle, they have Brandon Saad, who obviously will be a priority. And then someone like Marcus Kruger, it depends on, it depends on what Saad makes and who they trade, if they can afford someone like that. Because I think the number right now is they have 13 players signed for next season, and it's already committed $63 million. So, there's still some spots to fill and not a lot of money to do it with.
If they had to choose, who do you think they would trade, Sharper or Hossa?
I don't think Hossa's tradable. His contract lasts a long time, and I still think Brian Bickle's the one guy that they're going to target. If they can find a buyer, he's making $4 million a season. He's got two more years on his contract, and he's certainly not lived up to the billing of what he had in the playoffs in 2013. So if they can find a buyer, I think Bickle's the first one to go.
Is Bickle just inconsistent, or is he unmotivated at times? What is it with him?
I just don't know if he's capable. I think in the playoffs, it's some of it's psychological and some of it's physical. I don't know if he can hold up for that long. You see spurts during the regular season, but just over an 82-game schedule, he can't keep that up. Something gets in him in the playoffs, and he gets a little bit more motivated, and I think he's willing to sacrifice. But, some of it's about opportunity, too. In the playoffs, the last few years, he's got to play with Kane and Taves, and you're given some great opportunities and a lot more minutes. And he plays mostly a third-line role now, too. So I think there's a couple different factors. But, some of it's just, this is what he is as a regular season player. And I think the Blackhawks are hopeful they turn it on again. But there's no guarantee for that. A guy that plays, scores 15 goals during regular season is kind of off and on. It's asking a lot to be that type of player every season.
Always great to talk to you, Scotty. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thank you. Take care.